What's up, everybody? My name's Dustin, and this is the Sweet Science Class Podcast.
3, 2, 1.
What's up?
We're live.
Oh, shit.
What's up out there, Sweet Science Class fans? Thank you for tuning in. This is episode 7. We are recording this today, Monday the 3rd, but it will be dropped. You'll be hearing this the morning of Friday the 7th, the day before the Lomachenko event on December 8th. This is just going to be a little more of a what's happening this weekend episode, and we'll touch a little bit on the next 2 weekends because we've got some events going back to back all through December, really. We're going to touch on the Loma Pedraza fight this Saturday. I believe the undercard to that, if it's not the undercard, it's on a different event, but it's the Isaac Dogbe, and he's fighting, I believe his name is Emmanuel Navarrete, something like that. I may be pronouncing that wrong. That's gonna be an amazing fight. Navarrete's 25-1. His only loss was 6 years ago. He has almost pure knockouts, and Dogbe looks like the man right now. So that event's gonna be really good. Next week will be Canelo Fielding. We'll touch on that a little bit. The week after that will be the Charlo brother event. We'll touch a little bit on that, and also how Jermell Charlo hopped in the ring after Jarrett Hurd got his victory on the Tyson Fury Deontay Wilder undercard. So we're going to touch on all of that. I got Felix and Sergio both on the phone. I'm going to be asking them opinions and questions about each topic. We're going to try to keep it, you know, PTI style, minute to answers, and just kind of zip through the weekend topics and just try to keep everybody informed on what's going on these next couple weeks. So what's up, Felix and Sergio?
What's going on, Sweet Science Class? Real chilling, baby.
All right, so let's just hop into the undercard. I believe I'm going to keep saying it's the undercard unless it's on a completely different event, but I'm pretty positive it's the undercard, the Isaac Dogbe, Emmanuel Navarrete. This is the undercard of the Loma fight. What have you, Sergio, have you seen Navarrete fight? Have you seen Dogbe fight? What do you think of this fight?
Well, just to make it quick, I've seen Dogbe fight, and I'm pronouncing it wrong maybe because I'm a little drunk, but I've seen him 3 times fight. He is phenomenal from a technical standpoint, from an optic standpoint, and from a hunger standpoint. He is phenomenal. He has, every time I've seen him fight, he destroys his opponent, either by KO or TKO. With that being said, his opponent is good, not great. So I expect, I'm going to be honest with you, I expect either a TKO or a KO in the 7th or 8th round. I mean, that's typically Dogbo's MO.
Very nice. Felix?
Yeah. No, I agree with that. I can see it maybe going a little later than that, but it probably will end in a late TKO. You never know with these little guys, though. Sometimes there's never any stoppages, though. They could go all 12.
Yeah, but and let me tell you, though, Felix, though, Dogbo got a pop.
Yeah, he does.
I don't know, is he African? He's South African or African?
Yeah, he's from Ghana.
I know he's from, what is it?
Ghana.
Okay. I'm sorry about that. Well, whatever. The guy has hunger, because I'm sure he grew up with no shoes and hustling cigarettes and Manny Pacquiao. So that guy has hunger, and that guy fights like he has hunger, and you can see it.
You can't measure hunger.
You know what? You can't. You can't. You put ketchup on some rocks and eat it when you're hungry. You know what I'm saying? Especially in those countries, man. Are you kidding me, bro?
And that's gonna be on the ESPN.
I believe, yeah, it is ESPN,
yeah,
and that
ESPN
is the
Plus.
Undercard.
Is it not ESPN Plus?
It may be. I thought it was ESPN. I think it should be. It should be regular. They're ridiculous if this is not regular ESPN.
Gotcha.
For the most part, those are my thoughts exactly. Navarrete, he is a puncher, but he hasn't beaten anybody extra great. As long as Dogbe avoids the big punch, it's kind of ironic Sergio said 7th or 8th, because I was going to say I see Dogbe in 7 or less. So that's our take on that fight. That goes into the main event, which is Lomachenko versus Pedraza. We just saw Pedraza I don't know if we'd say an upset. I think people kind of expected Ray Beltran to I kind of was going for Beltran. Maybe it's my little bias as being a big fan of Ray and his story. But, you know, Pedraza took that win, so now he got his fight against Lomachenko. Felix, what do you think of Pedraza, and do you think he has any chance?
People forget, Pedraza's only loss is to Tank. And this is a guy who came up in, like, you know, competing nationally. Like, he's really fundamental. He's got mad skills, man. So, I mean, it's like a boxer versus a boxer, really. I mean, Lomachenko's a superior boxer, but they're not – they're known for, like, being really fundamental. So it's going to be an interesting fight. It's going to look like an Olympic-type fight. Think about it.
Yeah, this actually may be a little boring, you know, to some of the more casual fans.
If Loma wins this, man, that's three big names in a row, if you think about it.
I agree.
The drive is no slouch, man.
Bro, his pedigree speaks for itself. Yeah. Again, I always measure boxers by the pedigree. This guy's did he earn an Olympic medal?
I think he medaled in the Pan American Games.
Pan American Games? Well, yeah. But he has pedigree. I've seen him fight.
Yeah, he competed in the Olympics.
I mean, I'm not saying he's a matrix like Loma.
Yeah.
You know, but it's not. It's gonna be. I mean, obviously, I imagine the odds. Loma is in a favor, obviously.
Oh, I checked Bovada, you know, today, and Loma. Loma is a huge favorite on Bovada.
No! And let's get things. I'm gonna look at it twisted. I agree with that. I'm not saying Loma's gonna lose, but this isn't like a Samba Mitchell for Mayweather.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I know you guys remember Samba Mitchell at the Gotti.
Well, yeah. He's fighting a guy who's, if you take Tank and Loma and Linares, you take all those guys, he's in that mix.
Yeah, he is. And he lost to Tank by decision. It wasn't a knockout.
Was it?
Well, I'm speaking from the side of my neck. So
I think it was stoppage. It was a stoppage? I'm not 100%, but I think it was.
Okay. I was speaking out of my ass, so I apologize.
I'm not 100%, but the fact that, I mean, he boxed very nicely against Ray Beltran, who isn't the most skilled, but he's a veteran guy. So that was a pretty nice win for Pedraza.
Agreed.
I think he's got a chance. Like, he's got a chance against Loma. I don't expect him to win. And I agree with him being he's a huge underdog on the betting odds.
Yeah, it's one of those fights, like, if he loses, but looks impressive, doesn't look outclassed, then it's kind of a victory when you're that much of an underdog.
Agreed. This fight is like Cotto Mayweather. Everyone left that fight almost feeling like Cotto was the winner, even though we know he lost. He did the best we'd ever seen, and he bloodied up Floyd, and he almost got a victory that night.
Yeah, it's a moral victory.
Yep, and that's what Pedraza could do.
Hey, Cotto did a lot better than Canelo Alvarez.
He absolutely did.
A lot better, because I've never seen Mayweather's face. In fact, Mayweather switched from Roger to a senior because Roger's his offense. And from the beat, from the, I mean, you can just look at his face at the Cotto. From the damage he received from Cotto, he went back to Daddy, because Daddy's defense, and also Roger was
that was probably the closest one-sided scorecard. Because I think I had it 117-111, but every round was really close. Crazy.
Oh, it was. I mean, if you look at Canelo's fight and you look at Cotto's fight, it's like you would say Cotto won. Because Canelo got a majority loss, you know.
Felix, I'm glad you said that, because I've told people that I've given my prediction on a fight before, you know, many times, and I've said, like, I think he'll win a close decision or a close unanimous decision, and I've had people laugh at that and say, ha ha ha, how can you have a close unanimous decision? And it's exactly very like simple. You just said. You can easily watch a fight that is pretty close, but someone is also pretty obviously winning the rounds.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that's not that crazy of a statement. And I've had many people laugh at me, and they just don't understand the logic. How can you have a close, unanimous? It makes sense to me.
Shit about boxing. It
makes sense to me.
Look at me, this laughing.
That was good timing.
Yeah, they don't know shit about boxing, bro. They don't understand how the sport works. That was the Cody. Let me tell you something. Cody gave Mayweather. I'm gonna tell you, in my opinion, two people gave Mayweather the nastiest bouts. And Manuel Augustus gave Mayweather hell. In fact, Mayweather will tell you to this day when you ask him who's the most difficult fighter you've ever fought. He'll tell you Manny Augustus. He always says that.
I remember him saying that for sure. I don't know if he's been asked since the Cotto fight, though, on camera.
Right. I think it would be Cotto because we saw his face. He got marked up.
I think it would be, too. I have no idea how we got on a Cotto Floyd tangent. I'm gonna switch this back into regular gear. But before I get off saying that, I gotta poke at the haters real quick. All the people that want to say Connor did the best anyone's ever done against Floyd, that's because he let him. Cotto still did the best anyone's ever done against Floyd. And you can cry about that. So now we're gonna.
I agree with that.
So that's this weekend. We got two really good fights: the Dog Bay fight, the Loma fight. That's a really good card. I might actually not get to see that live. I have a Christmas work party that I may have to record the fights, and that'll be the rare occasion that I don't get to see the fights live, but I guess life happens.
just don't look at Facebook, and it'll be like fresh news.
Exactly. That's what I was going to post before and tell everybody in the group, like, all right, dudes, I'm going to a Christmas work party, then I'm going to watch the fights. I'm staying off Facebook. I don't need no spoilers. So, I mean, that's the weekend. It's going to be a very good weekend. The following weekend is Canelo Fielding. We'll touch on that a little bit. I mean, I don't think there's a ton to say about this fight. Felix,
nothing at all.
Do you have anything to say about this fight?
The only thing I have to say about it is I don't care if they let me off work early or not.
I'm covering a rat. My wife and I are covering a rat's. A grassroots boxing card here in Atlanta. I'm gonna have more information. I'll post it on our forum.
Yeah,
but I'm talking about the main event is a four round. The prospect is 2-0, and the other guy is 1-0-1, and it's a four rounder. That's the main event.
That's crazy.
So talk about grassroots. I'm gonna be doing the weigh-in Friday, and also. Just being part of the media and everything, and then write about it. It's Kelly Pavlik's publicist that reached out to me because she saw that I'm in Atlanta from the show that when I hear this podcast and bro, I told my wife this is bro like Eminem, you know what I'm saying? You only get one shot, you know? This is one shot. And I'm gonna fucking bang it out of the park, bro. Because if there's anything I wanna do, is live my passion, not live to work. Because all I do is fucking live to work, bro. Yeah. I live to pay mortgage, bills, fucking food. All right. I do it with a sour ass face. But what else can I do? I thank God at least I have work. Motherfuckers don't got work. And I know you feel it, Felix, bro. I hate what I do, bro. I detest what I do. But what else am I going to do?
But yeah, back to Canelo. I'll tell you one thing I do want to see is, you know, conditioning, power carries over. Just little things like that. But, I mean, we know he's going to win the fight. Canelo, you got to knock him out. We all know that.
And
Rocky's not going to do it. Unless it's Rocky Balboa,
yeah.
Not gonna have him.
In a movie, let me tell you, Canelo's chin is second to Triple G. Canelo, what he showed in the second Triple G fight in round 10, bro, I take my hat off. Bro,
yeah, he's got one of the top five chins.
Bro, that overhand right that started the whole snafu, and then he continued to go forward and attack him. Bro, he was in La La Land, eyes red. He was high as fuck off skunk or some kush. And that man came forward after that. Man, that right was hard, bro. Hard. The thing is, the angle you couldn't see because Canelo's back was towards the camera, so you couldn't see it. But he was in front of him, so you couldn't see it. But it was nasty when they showed the other angle on YouTube. And, bro, Canelo's chin's phenomenal. Bro, I'm not going to lie, bro. I don't like Canelo, but Canelo's phenomenal. Canelo's phenomenal. He will get the 168 belt. I don't think by knockout though. I think he'll go 12 because of the weight and I may be wrong, but there's a big difference between 160 and 168. Even though it's only 8 pounds, it's a huge difference.
Yeah.
Who else do we have that weekend? I think that's the only fight.
I don't even remember anything else on that. David Lemieux's fighting on that card.
Oh.
Lemieux?
I don't remember who he's fighting, but David Lemieux will be fighting somebody, hopefully getting another, you know, pretty nice.
That sounds like to me is they're going to try to set up a Canelo versus Lemieux.
Which would mean Canelo would have to drop back down and wait. Or David Lemieux would have to. It's a weird situation, y'all. Like, this whole 160, 168.
They'll make a catch weight. They'll make up a weight.
Yeah, they may. And on the Fielding fight, I'm interested, yeah, to see how Canelo makes the move up because he's only dabbled at 160 twice with the Triple G fight. So now 168, I really want to see if the power carries. I think Fielding is, I don't want to say lackluster. I mean, he's got skills, but I don't think he's anywhere near the level of Canelo. His size looks massive, and Canelo looks way shorter, but I think that's going to work into an advantage. He's going to have lots of long, lean body to work. We know Canelo's got a fantastic body shot. I'm actually predicting a body shot stoppage somewhere around 9 or 10, similar he did to Liam Smith, even though completely different weight class, completely different size and style of fighter. But I do think he'll eventually stop Fielding late to the body around 9 or 10. But, I mean, you know, we all expect Canelo to win. That's not the most exciting of fights. So we can't just sit here and talk about that one all day. And like we said, Lemieux on the undercard. I don't really remember much else from that card. We'll talk about that more on next week. But we're also going to dabble on the week after that. It's the Charlo brother card where they both have a fight. And, you know, let's not really even touch on that event since it's 2 weeks away. But we mentioned the Charlos, we have to bring up, if the Charlos both win, more importantly, if Jermell Charlo wins in 2 weeks, he got into the ring directly after Jarrett Hurd knocked out his opponent on the Fury undercard. And they had a lot to say to each other. Do y'all think, if that fight were to happen, who do you think would win, Felix?
You know what? I like, Hurd has a very entertaining style as a fan. I like to watch him fight because he's always going to put on a show. I think we talked about it. He kind of has like a Mexican style of fighting where he stays in the box, not really defensive, and he's really tall. Really tall for that weight division, really long, but he gets hit too much. And with a guy like Charlo, Jermell's going to be in his ass. I'm sorry. Maybe I'm biased. Like I said, it's a sexy thing. Now, when it comes to Charlo's and Spence, I kind of have that soft spot like I do for Cotto because, you know, he represents my people and all that. So I just feel like the technique, like but Charlo's probably has some of the best technique in boxing. I don't care what anybody says. Yeah, talk about their resume, talk about this and that. I get the eyeball test. Technique, phenomenal. So, I gotta go with Jermell, and I think it'll probably be a decision. I don't think he'd knock him out, but it would be a decision. He doesn't really have a high knockout ratio like his brother.
No, it's a lot less. Yeah, I feel that. Sergio, thoughts on Jermell versus Hurd?
What was that?
Your thoughts on if Jermell Charlo wins in 2 weeks and gets the Jarrett Hurd fight? What do you think about that?
That's a tough fight. I'll tell you why it's a tough fight. Felix just mentioned that the eyeball test, right? So that basically means he has pedigree, he has skill set, he moves around like a pugilist in the ring, right? So does Lara. And Hurd, who, I'm gonna go say, Hurd is like the Frankenstein of the 154 pound division, right? But Margarito with more power, in my opinion. Yeah. This guy, like his, like fuck defense, but you can just tee off on his head, mm-hmm. and he comes forward.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, I've seen a lot of fighters like that that are. That fight in that manner, look like this weekend, right? That guy that got the body shot could have gotten up, but he didn't. I think we already spoke about that, Dustin. He could have gotten up. Actually, he was taking it to Hurd. The thing is, he knew that. Well, fuck it. I'm on the floor already. Let me just take my paycheck.
Yeah.
Hurd will fight to the last 50 seconds of the round and try to knock you out. I mean, he did it to Lara. And let me tell you, bro, I know Charlos are not more pedigree than Lara. Lara comes from the amateur Cuban school. Look at Ortiz. That's all I got to say. Look at Ortiz. And let me tell you, Ortiz is not 39 years old. I'm 39 years old. I'm telling you. Not only that, Maja from our forum has a friend. I forgot the story. Has a friend. Whatever. And she says that Ortiz is 47. Like, it's a plus minus seven. He's 47. And I mean, you can see it. Now, everyone's like, look at the way he moves. But long story short, I don't think, which Charlo is this, by the way?
Jermell.
I'm sorry. Is this the one that got the majority decision against Trout?
Yeah, it's the one we just saw struggle with Trout.
Okay, the one that struggled with Trout? All right. He does not possess the power. I mean, guys, this guy comes in 2 pounds under 154 and then comes into fighting at 170. I mean, what the fuck is that? Bro, he weighed into the fight this past weekend at 152, and I'm like, bro, how can this guy make 152? I mean, he doesn't even come to 153 and a half or 153 and three-fourths. This guy comes into 2 pounds and then he blows up to 170? Nah, bro. That's just not. Charlo can. I mean, can he outbox him? Sure. Can he avoid everything from Hurd? Sure. Would he knock out Hurd? Fuck no. Impossible. I mean, but if he couldn't take out Trout, old man Trout, who has a resume that's phenomenal, imagine if he won everything, like, sort of like Malaji.
Yeah.
Hurd. I mean, bro, we saw it with the Lara fight, bro. Lara was winning as a Toldron, and he laid it on Lara. And, bro, Lara looked – if you look at Lara and you look at her, you'd be like, these are two weight classes difference. And actually, you would be right because the guy comes in as a light heavyweight, literally, because he's past the 168, and anything past the 168 is that light heavyweight. And Lara is like a 164, was it? So we're talking about what – you jump super middle, it's two weight classes above. So, I don't know. When I used to see the Charlos, it was on Showbox. And I saw one Charlo once on Showtime Championship Boxing. It's just been so, they have fought so little that I can't even tell who's who. You know, I remember with Showbox, like Felix said, they're phenomenal from a pedigree standpoint and an eyeball standpoint. Phenomenal footwork, everything phenomenal. But I haven't seen these cats in like 2 years.
They're not active enough, just like all the PBC fighters.
Yeah, it's embarrassing. It really is embarrassing. And Al Heyman should be. I mean, the only person to blame is Al Heyman, because fights can be made like the Hurd fight. Why isn't the Hurd fight right now in negotiation? What's the problem? I don't understand.
Yeah.
Well, I think it will be, first off, if Charlo wins this fight, and they were kind of waiting on Hurd to get back from surgery, but he's kind of tackled that. He's proved he's back. There was no injury in the last fight. He looks really good. And I'm also intrigued that y'all both kind of took different sides, because I'm kind of 50. Felix, you know, is pretty Charlo on this, and almost seems like Sergio may be a little leaning towards Hurd, and I'm kind of right there on the fence, because as Felix was saying that he can outbox him, I was kind of thinking what Sergio brought up. I was thinking back to, it really doesn't get much better as a pure boxer. Some people would even say boring than Arislandi Lara.
And yeah, Lara's phenomenal.
And
phenomenal,
Lara, if you go just style and just technique-wise, he dominated Hurd, but Hurd just pressured. So it really comes down. Yeah, I think Jermell at 100% would outbox him and would probably take it to a decision, but can he take that constant pressure? Will that eventually stop him? Because fun fact, I don't like to do the triangle theory. Jermell Charlo had a little trouble with Trout. I'm not even going to go there. We'll just say it went decision. The only man to stop Austin Trout was Jarrett Hurd. And I was actually fortunate enough to see that live in New York. That was an amazing stoppage. So Hurd's pressure versus Jermell's skill is beyond intriguing. And very 50-50 to me. Like, that's almost a coin flip. Is it? And it's, I don't want to say Tyson or Fury Wilder, but in a way, it's sort of 50-50 like that to me. Is, yeah, will Jermell outbox him, or will the pressure get to him? It's Cotto Margarito 1 when you don't know about the hand wraps.
Yeah. I agree with that.
So I think we've pretty much exhausted all this. I can't really think of anything else worth bringing up this week. We'll touch more on the Canelo and the Charlos next week.
And the Pacquiao.
Yeah, towards the end of December, early January, we'll really dive into the Pacquiao Broner.
We're gonna do a year in review.
Yes, Felix had a good idea today. We're gonna kind of jack like HBO boxing or something, just how they do a end of the year thing. We'll do a year in review. We'll touch on the biggest fights, the biggest moments. We'll just try to make a real compact, maybe hour-long show, just hitting you with the highlights. We'll do our best, do a lot of homework to really make it compact and informative and show you what 2018 brought us all. Any final thoughts, guys, before we get out of here?
No, I just appreciate it.
The heavyweight division is alive.
Yeah, alive and doing well.
Yeah.
Okay.
For sure.
Real quick, 60 seconds total before we end this. No explanation. You just give me a 3-2-1. Rank Fury, Joshua, Wilder, Sergio.
Oh, I go. I'm going to say Fury, Wilder, and AJ, and then Ortiz.
Okay. Sergio.
All right. Fury, AJ, Wilder, Ortiz.
That's me too.
And if you want to know the reason, on the next podcast we can talk about it.
I'll tell you the reason. The reason why I have the top two is they actually want to fight each other. AJ's a fucking pussy. There you go.
I think it's Hearn, bro.
Oh, wait.
It's her,
Felix
bro.
Felix, you had Wilder too?
Yeah.
And Sergio, you had Joshua too.
I had Joshua too.
No, I still think that Wilder can matches up better against AJ. Like, this is how
I agree with that.
Wilder beats AJ, and AJ can beat Fury. Or vice versa. That's a 50-50.
No, I agree. I'm not saying that Wilder cannot beat AJ. I'm going, but first of all, in my book, Wilder lost, right? Not on paper, but I'm just saying, again, we're asking opinions. In my book, Wilder lost. Is that what, right? AJ hasn't lost. AJ beat Klitschko, Povatkin, right? Both by knockout.
I got one for you. Ortiz is better than both of those guys.
You know what? I agree with you.
I can't say Ortiz is better than Vladimir.
I agree with you, but Ortiz is winning the fight until Wilder knocked him out. Do you agree with that?
That's what he does.
I know. Bro, That's what I told Dustin. I text him and I go, one more round for it to happen, bro, and the right, not only the right, the left while he's going down nailed him. It happened, and I'm like, no. I started saying to Rob, bro, it happened, and coach, like, that's up.
I personally can't say.
He's the wild card.
Who?
Who, Fury?
Ortiz is a wild card.
He's a wild card, I guess.
Ortiz is a wild card, definitely a wild card. I mean, Wilder, he couldn't take Wilder's right, obviously, because he was all fucked up. But you know what I want to see? I want to see not Fury and AJ. I want to see Wilder and AJ. I think Wilder will beat AJ, in my opinion. Even though I have AJ ahead of Wilder, because I'm looking at sort of like from a pound for pound, I'm looking at resumes, and in my book, Wilder's lost right now with Fury. I mean, not on paper, but he lost.
Yeah, but AJ, you know what? That's why I'm saying that.
Now, I think Wilder will be it's so interesting. Wilder will be AJ, but I have AJ ahead of Wilder. I know that sounds weird, because it just does sound weird. It does sound weird, but I'm going by resume right now, and
like a power ranking.
Right, a power ranking. Now, I think Wilder will, because AJ's chin is not, AJ's chin is like Wilder's chin. Actually, I'm not going to lie, Wilder has whiskers, bro, because Wilder did not, Ortiz hit him with everything, including the kitchen sink, and he did not go down. So Wilder has whiskers. He might be wobbly, but he's still on his feet.
Yeah.
I don't think AJ can knock down Wilder. I am 100% sure Wilder can knock down AJ.
Yeah.
But at the moment, I have AJ in front of Wilder because of pure record, and I truly think Wilder lost the fight.
Again, no, I'm 100% in agreement. I have AJ at number two, but I think Wilder would probably beat Joshua as well. That I was thinking that today. I've got Fury, Joshua, Wilder, but I think when I match up styles, I don't think Joshua's head movement is enough as what Fury had. I think he would get caught eventually. But on the flip side, I think Joshua's power is more than Fury. And Fury was landing some big shots, so Joshua could easily knock Wilder out. So I see that a 50-50, one of them knocks each other out inside of six rounds if Joshua and Wilder ever fights.
There you go.
I respect that. I personally think Wilder, I've never seen Wilder touch a canvas. Have you guys?
Yeah.
Maybe he has?
Yeah, in the amateurs. Once in the pros. I think Eric Molina dropped him.
Oh, he dropped him?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Wilder's been down, but he got up.
Oh,
so
I do remember that. Yeah.
He got up
and knocked him out, right?
So all of these guys have gotten up. All three, Fury, Joshua, Wilder,
we've all gotten up. Resurrection.
We've all seen them get up to win fights, so they're all tough. Yeah, we got some good matches going up. All right, we need to wrap this before.
Sure.
We'll get on the three heavyweights a little more next time. We'll go into where we rank them all. So, we're going to get out of here. Again, this is being recorded Monday, but this will drop. You'll be hearing this Friday morning. This is leading into the weekend. And just thank you all for being a part of the Sweet Science Class. We love that you tune in. And thank you, Sergio and Felix. Great show as always.
Always a pleasure, Dustin. Thank you for having me on, bro. And Sweet Science Class rocks, baby. Have a good night.
It's a wrap.
And that's it for this episode. Thank you everybody for tuning in, and I really hope you enjoyed it. As always, I thank Sergio and Felix for being a part of the Sweet Science Class team. And until next time, remember to keep the science sweet.